Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
You may have caught us talking a little bit about it earlier during the Drive Time show, but if you missed it, this part of the conversation is going to be really interesting because we are going to be talking about the legalities of running a loan shark business in the workplace. And what can you do? I suppose, can an employer dismiss an employee for participating in a money laundering scheme where there are no specific workplace rules in this regard? So we've got an employee relations specialist, and that is Kagiso Lebete. He's a senior employee relations specialist, and he's going to be talking to us about what we need to understand around this particular activity and what we should be looking out for. But we're also going to be using a particular case just so we can get a little bit of an example. We can call it a case study. And in this case, we are going to be using a case that is Kaweng versus the South African National Biodiversity Institute and other. And this was in the labor court. But Kagiso does join us on the line. Kagiso, thank you so much for your time.
Good evening, Nastasia, and thank you for inviting me. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are audible and you are clear. I mean, this one was a funny one when we were chatting about it because it brings up all kinds of, call it questions, whether you know somebody within your workplace or colleague or not who is running a loan shark business. But give me background here when it comes to this particular case, Kaweng versus South African National Biodiversity Institute. What happened?
So in this particular instance, Nastasia, the applicant who had then taken this matter on appeal, Kaweng, was found guilty by the then employer, the South African National Biodiversity Institute, for running an illegal money lending scheme in the workplace. And the interesting bit is that he wasn't even the focal point of the investigation when it initially occurred. There was a colleague of his that was being investigated. There was a whistleblower complaint, followed by an investigation, which then pointed out this colleague of Mr. Kaweng's. It was in the disciplinary hearing of this employee that then Mr. Zola, as he's referred to, then pointed out that, oh, no, it's not just me. We have a Mr. Kaweng who's also implicated in this whole scheme. And from that process was then Mr. Kaweng then charged and subsequently then also dismissed. And one of his defenses was that there is no evidence linking me to actually lending people money. And therefore, how do you then find me guilty of this type of offense? And that brings into play quite a few issues that that one would need to be able to satisfy to be able to prove that there is an act of misconduct. It is linked to the employment relationship and that the sanction of a dismissal in this particular instance is a reasonable could impose. And that's where the complexity comes in.
Okay, so let's talk about that complexity.
So in essence, what one would need to first establish is that has there been a rule that has been broken? And what is the rule with particular reference to the employment relationship? In this instance, the South African National Biodiversity Institute did not have a particular rule that said that employees are not allowed to carry on the business of money lending. However, from a legislative perspective, and the National Credit Act is quite clear that unless you are a registered credit provider, you are not allowed to lend money and charge interest. Now, Mr. Kaweng tried to dispute this and said, no, we are not a money lender. I am part of a stock file. He was actually one of the founding members. But there was evidence presented by the employer that said that there has been money lent to fellow employees and they were charged interest. Not only that, but when they went about collecting the money from these employees, it caused severe disruptions to the business because employees were then now for being threatened and they were not feeling safe to come to work. And that then impacted the employer's operations, and which is something that's very important because if you are unable or if you as an employer are unable to prove that this conduct impacts my operations and it is a rule that has been breached, it is a rule that is known, then it's quite difficult to want to find an employee guilty for a rule and also not being able to bring it back to the employer's workplace and the impact that it has on its operations.
Okay, so loan shark business aside, there were aspects around the stock file that you brought up, which are quite fascinating. And I think a lot of the listeners might have, an instance or an experience where there are members or their colleagues or somebody within the company who is part of a stock file within the workplace. What should, not just as an employee, and say you are participating in a workplace stock file that your employer may not be aware of, but what should employees and the employer be talking about, especially when it comes to the legal implications of participating in a stock file in the workplace? What should be first and foremost?
I think the constitution of the stock file is very important, because participating in a stock file is on its own not any illegality, and it is not something that typically employers would want to prohibit in the workplace. With this particular instance, and also part of the reason why Mr. Gawing's testimony was found to be improbable and largely unreliable, was that he conceded himself that, in as much as yes, there had been this group of individuals that have come together and were contributing money. However, there was interest that was being charged to these employees, and this was proven by the employer. So with a stock file that is able to then lend its members money, as most stock files do, there really isn't, or there hardly is, a charge for the interest, because then the member would then have to pay the money back. And also, that having been said, the manner in which the stock file operates is governed by its own internal constitution. And the version that was presented by Mr. Gawing in these proceedings, which is why it was found to be improbable and largely unreliable, was due to the fact that it was probably dishonest of him to try and allege that they were carrying on the business of a stock file, when it was clearly evident within the business that these individuals were loan sharks, was a founding member of this group of employees, and that there was significant disruption to the operations of the South African National Biodiversity Institute. And I think one must always bring into play the fact that typically, our South African law does not prevent employees from earning additional income, but it must be legal, and there must be very little impact on the employer's operations if the carrying on of this business or whatever it is happens during working hours. And that is what employers are trying to protect when they put in place policies which seek to limit or prohibit personal or private work during working hours, using employees or using employers' tools of trade, and or within the course and scope of the employment. And that's very important, as to businesses are trying to protect how they carry about their business and what type of impact or repercussions any private work can have on its ops.
I can imagine the listeners want to hear the end story. So how did this particular case end?
So unfortunately for Mr. Gawing, the appeal that was filed was dismissed. The Labour Appeal Court found that the version presented by Mr. Gawing through his representatives was improbable, and that the employer had just cause to effect the dismissal and find him guilty in the proceedings, despite him proclaiming that, listen, I'm not guilty. The company cannot put me in a position where I have lent someone money or I have physically intimidated someone. But Mr. Gawing was, for lack of a better word, found guilty by association. He was implicated on a balance of probabilities. He was part of this group of employees. Mm. There is indisputable proof that they were lending money to employees. And there is further undeniable proof that these employees were thereafter threatened within the workplace, which then severely disrupted operations. And unfortunately, he lost this case, which we have seen happen quite before. I mean, there's another unreported case that happened at Swissport, where in this particular instance, the employee was also charged with competing with the employer by lending money to employees and charging interest. So in this context, the employer was able to advance certain loans to its staff members, who had then requested at no interest. And the employees would then pay the company back. But this employee was then lending money to staff and charging them 40, 50% interest. Mm. And the company then followed its own forensic investigation process, charged the employee and found her guilty, and ultimately dismissed her. So there is case law to that effect, to the extent of running an illegal money lending business within the organization. But there must also always be a link between the company, the misconduct that the company is alleging, and what impact it has on the company's operations.
So is there a way to actually do this legally? Like, should what sort of steps should you go into? Say you are an employee who's flushed with cash and you found a business opportunity. Like, is there, are there cases where people can actually do this thing properly and they can actually have a discussion with their employer to say, this is my side hustle or whatever the case is?
Yes, definitely. And the law does allow for such. And that's why what I made reference to a bit earlier, companies do put in place policies like a private work policy. Some companies would prohibit it. Some companies would allow it within certain limitations. You would need to disclose in a prior or in advance, such as the disclosures of conflict of interest and the declarations that employees normally make on an annual basis. And you would then be expected to disclose to the employer that you run a particular business. These are the tools that you use to run this business. And they will typically ask, when do you run your business? Are you using the company laptop? Do you use the company's photocopy to print your flyers? What impact does it have on the role that you're working on in the business? And how then do we mitigate that risk? Because companies implement policies to mitigate any potential risk that may arise as a result of the actions or omissions of the employees. So there is companies who do allow employees to carry on private work or side hustles to the extent that it does not impact their capability to carry out and deliver in terms of their key responsibilities and expectations.
Are employees allowed to have a company stock file, and should they be disclosing that to the employer?
Yeah, employees are allowed to have a stock file amongst themselves, and the extent to which a declaration or disclosure is expected would be largely driven by the policies of the company. Some companies may not require that disclosure. Some companies may require that it be disclosed through their annual declarations, but there is no prohibition at default level that you cannot be part of a stock file or you cannot have a stock file in the workplace. That would be an unfair prohibition, because typically there isn't a link to the business of the employer unless it starts impacting on the company's operations.
Okay, so we've spoken about quite a lot. You've given us a very interesting case to digest. From your experience, given everything that you've dealt with from an employee relations point of view, as it relates to either running a business in the workplace or stock fells, etc., if listeners remember nothing else around what we've discussed over the past, say, 10, 15 minutes, what's the one or two things that come to mind that you could say as the listeners they can walk away with and always bear in mind?
I think it's fairly simplistic. If you are unsure as to the legality of whatever conduct it is you're engaging in, is it a side hustle? Is it a stock file? Is it a money lending business? Are you consulting? Are you working in a pro bono environment? If you are unsure as to the legality of the conduct in relation to your employment relationship, talk to HR, talk to legal if you've got a legal, talk to ethics and compliance if you work in such an entity, but speak to someone in a position of authority that can give you direction. If there is none, then request some sort of direction in writing. And if you need to disclose that I'm involved in this particular organization, I'm involved in this particular activity, and I hope that it does not infringe on the company's internal policies, because that will protect you as an employee going forward, that in as much as there isn't something that was brought to my attention, even when I requested the company for clarity, I was either not given any response at all, or the response was rather vague and ambiguous. That will assist you in disciplinary proceedings.
Kagiso, thank you so much for clarifying and sharing your insights as it relates to this, and also hopefully guiding listeners who may be thinking of some of the things that we have discussed. So thank you so much for your time. That is Kagiso Lebete, who is a senior employee relations specialist, talking to us about the legalities of running a loan shark business in the workplace.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.